This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre presents Well, Well, Well on Joy, a show that's all about sex, health and well-being.
Joy, Joy, Joy.
Hello, everyone, and we're listening to Well, Well, Well at Joy 94.9. Good afternoon, everyone. How are you?
Fantastic, thanks, Carlos. How are you?
Good, good, good. Pretty good.
I'm a little bit weary, of course, Carlos, and everybody here. Just, you know, I've still got things throbbing through my veins.
Yeah. So that was Tex and Jack.
Indeed it was.
It was indeed. At Well, 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 we talk about topics that relate to the GLBTI community, and we are all about sex, health and well-being.
Oh, goodness me, and last week, what a week we've had. Absolutely brilliant to be part of AIDS 2014, and we also did a live broadcast, I hope you were listening, from the Global Village last week. Jack, how was it for you? How did you go?
Well, I'm still sort of, I've still got it, as I said, it's still rearing through my veins, all the excitement about the conference. At the same time, a little bit exhausted by it all. It's been demanding physically and emotionally charged, I think, with events that played out. But also, like, considering VAC sponsored or partnered with over 35 events, it's been quite demanding, you know, local, international, all sorts of affiliated things.
Oh, look, we did. We were partnered with all sorts of organisations and people, and it was a very busy week for everyone at the Victorian AIDS Council. And we'll get to talk about our highlights and our stories in regards to AIDS 2014 later on. But first, on behalf of the Victorian AIDS Council, we'd like to thank all of the volunteers that got involved. That's the volunteers back at the Victorian AIDS Council, those who are at the conference itself, and then the enormous number of community and cultural events that happened. So, to all of our volunteers, thank you.
And a big, big thank you.
Yes, indeed, thank you. And today at the studio, we have our peer education guru from the health promotion at VAC. It's Budi Sudhakar. How are you, Budi?
I'm well, thank you. I'm feeling under pressure now. I am definitely not a guru, so thank you so much for the compliment.
So, Budi, you did, with Jess Pest, you deliver a workshop at AIDS 2014, which was exploring the realities, concerns, and questions about transgender men who have sex with men. We're going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later.
So, Jack, how can people get involved in the conversation with us and perhaps even ask us a question?
Well, I hope they do on both fronts. You can like us on facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy or send us an email onair@joy.org.au or an SMS 0427JOY949 or even a tweet at wellwellwelljoy.
Now, Budi.
Hi.
We were talking about the workshop that you delivered with Jess. Now, can I start by asking how did that partnership actually took place?
Look, Jess and I started having the conversation late last year, and that was related to the Buck Angel program that he was responsible for. He wants to bring Buck Angel famous.
Fantastic program,
yeah,
by the way.
And it was a fantastic program. Thank you so much for everyone in this room and around Melbourne who supported that program. And then we kept on talking, and we were very clear from day one that we didn't want it to be just a one-off event. We want to continue the discussions and create a sexual health program that is specific for trans men who are attracted to other men. So the AIDS 2014 came around, and I had a very, very quick chat with Jess and said, hey, we really should put in something here, an abstract, a session, a workshop, whatever. And he said, yeah, go for it. So I did that, and then we got accepted, and the rest is history. So we were actually very, very pumped because it's one of a handful of sessions very, very specific for transgender men. And that really highlights how much the transgender community is still underrepresented when we're talking about HIV prevention.
Mm. Now, Buddy, I understand that on the workshop you guys delivered, you did a myth-busting exercise. Can you explain what was the exercise and what trans men who have sex with men myths did you actually bust?
Well, the myth-busting exercise was to get the participants to start thinking about their own preconceptions about trans men. Mm-hmm. So we asked questions around trans men identity, that all trans men doesn't like or they don't like their body, and that all trans men wants to have a sex reassignment surgery. Mm-hmm. All trans men are only attracted to women, and there is no trans men who are attracted to other men. And it really started off the workshop nicely because it makes people think about some of the stuff around trans men that are not correct. And it also make them think about how they can start to engage with the trans men community around sexual health.
Was the audience mainly transgendered people, or was it a broader mix?
It was a broader mix, and it was actually a really, really good mix because we only have maybe two or three trans men that we know.
Yeah.
That we know trans men. They were quite openly trans men, and the rest are people from all over the world and from different professions.
Yeah.
And that's what we want, because we don't want it just for the trans men community. We want to create allies. And as a cisgender gay man, I like to be their ally. I like to make sure that this group is well represented, that this group is not left behind. Because as you know, during the 2014 conference, the overarching slogan is no one left behind. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? We still left them behind. Mm. The fact that there were only, I think, two or three throughout the whole conference that specifically talk about trans men's sexual health, that says a lot.
Now, Buddy, in terms of sexual health, were there particular areas that were discussed at the workshop? And if so, what were they?
Look, we talk about sexual health from the fact that not all trans men are aware of their own sexual health. Mm-hmm. We talk about pap smear for trans men. Mm. We talk about the use of condom for trans men. We also talk about trans men who are taking hormone therapy and how that can increase the libido, and also, sorry to be a little bit graphic, but also how that affects their bodily fluid. Mm. You want to leave it there. And, you know, how that affects when they are having sexual encounters with other individuals. And we you know, the fact that we were struggling to find this info. When Jason and I were starting talking about it back in 2013, we had to go overseas to find this info. Mm. You know, we had to look really with great difficulty because there's not much out there. And yet, we know that trans men are having sex with other men. We know that trans men are having sex with both genders. So why are they being left behind? I think there's still an element of discomfort within the GLBTIQ community to acknowledge the existence of trans men. And this is why we're doing this work. This is why we need to push it. And this is why, as a cisgender gay man, we actually need to work with them. So, you know, so let's forget about the whole tokenistic kind of approach. We actually need to include them in the conversation and create something that is very specific to them.
I remember when I did hear Buck Angel speak, and I believe he's coming back in November. Is that correct?
I hope so. We're still looking.
I hope he does, because we can learn a lot about it. Yeah. But he raised lots of issues around sexual health and put it on the map, so to speak, in my eyes, put it that way.
Now, your involvement in AIDS 2014, as I can imagine, went a little bit further than the workshop that you guys delivered. Can you tell me, what did you get up to?
Oh my God, where to start and how long do I have?
Not that long.
So we did quite a few programs that specifically trying to engage the different communities that peer education work with. And one of the event that I coordinate with the help of many, many great volunteers and also great staff at Victorian AIDS Council is the youth dinner. People got a bit confused when I say youth dinner. They're just thinking, oh, everyone has to be young to attend it. Well, the reality is, in a lot of communities and in a lot of countries, you know, the young people themselves unfortunately don't have a lot of voice, because the government officials take, in these countries, most of the time, they view youth as the unproductive members of society. Mm-hmm. So we had a really good mix of young people coming specifically for the conference. That was mostly they came here sponsored by FAO, the Australian Federation of AIDS Organizations. I was about to get it wrong. I'm sorry, FAO. They're coming here under scholarships. And basically, during the dinner, we paired them up with young and gay alumni. And young and gay alumni consisting of young people who used to be participants in the Young and Gay Workshop, one of the programs that we have at Peer Education. So encouraging conversation, encouraging networking. So they learn from the alumni themselves. And I was very, very deliberate not to be involved in that discussion because I want them to hear for same-sex attracted young men about the program that we run, what they think is needed, and also to give them to give them some encouragement that this part of the difficulties in targeting same-sex attracted young men, the work still needs to be done. And you know, because there were a lot of events that week, we had good attendance. We had 45 people attending the dinner, really good food. So it was fantastic.
So does that mean I could have gone, even if I'm not young?
Yeah, yes and no.
That was the dinner at the PLC.
There was a dinner at Positive Living Centre, so that was one of it. The other event that I was involved as well is working with the multicultural communities in the GLBTIQ Melbourne community with AGMC, Australian GLBTIQ Multicultural Council, and we threw a dance party. We threw a United We Dance that was at Chasers, and it was on a Friday night. Everyone looked tired, but man, everyone had so much fun. There was a lot of smiling faces throughout the night.
I've heard it was fantastic.
I know, and you know, some of you were there, so thank you for coming.
Now, Buddy, you obviously had a really good conference. I expect we all had a really good conference. But if I was to ask you for just one highlight from the entire week of AIDS 2014, what would that be and perhaps why?
Only one?
Only one.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'll try it. So the one highlight for me was listening to young gay men from different parts of the world, especially those coming from Africa and Middle East, and listening to how difficult it is for the GLBTIQ community there to do any sort of work, especially with the criminalization of homosexuality. Well, a lot of countries have moved towards decriminalizing it. There are still countries who actually turn back and criminalize gay sex. That was a highlight because it makes me realize how lucky we are here in Australia that we have a very supportive government. You know, we have criticism about government policies, but overall we're very supportive.
Yep.
And compared to these countries, that we actually have a global responsibility to work with them and share with them what we have learned.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.